for some politics.
Get ready to rumble!
You wanna talk smack? You in the right place. So take a step back before I get all up in your face. I know you got your little views, you know I got mine. But there's like 50 other dudes holding on the phone line. Your voice will be heard, sir.
Next caller, please.
And if I don't concur, we can agree to disagree.
We're talking fantasy sports and politics. Fantasy sports and politics. Fantasy sports and politics. Fantasy sports and politics.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. If you recognize a voice, you know it's not Victor. You know it's not Mr. FSP. It is me, JT, a.k.a. The Master. I usually co-host this show on a Saturday, but Victor is doing his obligation to his country. So you have me for the next hour and a half. As always, this is the FSP show, and it's sponsored by Fantasy Sportsbook Casino. Excuse me, fantasysportsbookandcasino.com. As is the hotline that whoever calls in on is also sponsored by the same sponsor. The number to call in, since I mentioned that, is 347-637-3220. 347-637-3220 is a place to be if you like to converse with me. We also have a chat room for your convenience. Lay your knowledge in that chat room. Ask a question. Make a statement. That is open season, as we always do on the FSP and FSP crew and also the Master Plan shows. That is always open. You put anything in that chat room, we're going to respond to it. Hopefully it's something civil that you put in. But you get what you get. So if you get put a statement in there that's off color or not too cool, that's what response you're going to get. Well, anyway, I'm rambling on here. We got a great show in store for you today, as always. We're riding solo here unless someone happens to call in and wants to do some conversation with me. But if not, for the next hour and a half, I'm going to be hopefully entertaining you with various subjects that I talk about, being basketball, being football, going to be in life in general. And on that note, the reason I'm saying that is because I want to shout out to Tracy Morgan. Hopefully he has a speedy recovery. For those who don't know who Tracy Morgan is, hopefully you do know who he is. He happens to be a very funny comedian who was involved in a automobile accident. He was not driving. He was in a limo bus that was involved. Unfortunately, in my home state of New Jersey, on the New Jersey Turnpike, and he happens to be in intensive care right now. Hopefully, he'll pull through, and everything will, God willing, will be okay with him. There has been one fatality in that crash, along with, besides Tracy Morgan, a few other people that are in intensive care. So hopefully things turn out. Besides Tracy Morgan, the other people that are involved in that accident, hopefully they come out on the better side of what happened in this unfortunate incident. And so God be willing, things work out for all persons involved. So let's move on from there, okay? I had to say that because I enjoy Tracy Morgan and his comedian act, and never like to think of ill will to anyone, and hope for the best, because we are all in this world together, regardless of what we look like and how we act. we are all in this world together, and the more that we can get along, the more that we wish well and look out for each other, the better off we are as a people will be. All right, let's move on from there. I'm going to talk about a little basketball. And on Thursday night, as I was going off the show at a little after 9 o'clock, the first game of the NBA Finals took place in San Antonio. The Miami Heat, as you know, played the San Antonio Spurs in the first game of the NBA Finals, like I said. And besides the San Antonio Spurs winning the game and taking a 1-0 lead, that wasn't the big story of the game. And to put it mildly, let me put it this way, to put it mildly, there's been a huge backlash, or a huge, I don't know how you say it, but San Antonio Spurs beat the Heat by 110-95 in that game. But in the last 5-6 minutes of the fourth quarter, I called him Chebron. His name is LeBron, and I do pride myself on calling people by their name. Had some issues. In the early part of that game, San Antonio this time of year in Texas is pretty warm. And quite naturally, when you get thousands of people in an arena, when the air conditioning breaks down, things are going to, not so uncertain terms, heat up. Not just on the court, but in the whole arena heat up. And that's what happened. Air conditioning broke down. The heat rose. And players started having issues, especially the number one player in basketball land had issues cramping up. They played the game, and like I said, 5-6 minutes, give or take 7 minutes, whatever it was. Chebron, I'm sorry, I keep on saying Chebron. It's LeBron, okay? Started having issues, really had issues, I should say. He was having issues throughout the game for the most part, but it really got intense. Unfortunately for the Miami Heat and fortunately for the San Antonio Spurs, in crunch time in the fourth quarter, cramping up, constantly having to go out there and try to go to the bench and hydrate some more, trying to get more liquid into his body to stave off the cramps that eventually overtook him, where he had to get physically lifted off the court and carried to the bench. Now, this has gone viral. A lot of people have panned the walk-off with him getting picked up and taken off the court. There's even a picture out there, a photo out there with, as people know, in the last series when Indiana was playing the Heat, Lance Stephenson, with one of his antics was when he stood next to LeBron, he blew into LeBron's face. Well, they superimposed a picture of LeBron when Lance Stephenson blowing on LeBron's cramped-up leg. And one of the funniest things that I saw, Mac Williams, who happens to be a host of the No Chaser show, which is on hiatus until September, happened to be Facebook friends, okay? And Mac doesn't hold his tongue back at all on Facebook. He's not a big to say the least, a LeBron fan, to say the least. And this is probably one of the funniest things, and he said some funniest things before about LeBron and whatever else, but this is probably one of the funniest things, and every time I read it, I have a hard time keeping a straight face because it's so original, and it's so funny that I wrote it down because I want to tell you what exactly he said. I was too through when he said this. I told him the same exact words. I was too through it. This is crazy funny. He said this, and this was yesterday. I think it was yesterday. I'm pretty sure it was yesterday. Today is National Leg Cramp Survivor Day. Show your support by wearing a pink heating pad to work today. I mean, come on, man. That is like, he has no mercy. And the fact is, people have been coming out, including Mac, have been coming out that Jordan had a flu. Kobe finished what he had to do before he got off the court when he tore his Achilles. Isaiah, when he had a severely sprained ankle, played a game. Willis Reed, when he had an extremely bad hamstring, came out and played and inspired his team. I can go on and on about players, big-name players, that in big games with injuries that most of us normal humans would not even think about trying to or attempt to play on, and played at a high level. Now, I've had cramps. Cramps are tough. But if you do what you're supposed to do, and if you're a big name player, you the bottom line is you do what you are supposed to do and be out there, especially in crunch time. No matter what it takes, you worry about the next game. This game you could have won. And I do have my esteemed host, who happens to be on the line. Let me bring him in on the FantasySportsBookAndCasino.com hotline. I want to welcome to the show Mr. Vic Gardner. How do you like that introduction, man?
It's about time you got the website correct. You've been losing business because you haven't gotten the bag on website correct, but I appreciate the intro. So what's going on with the show today?
Well, apparently you've been getting enough interest because the few text messages I'm getting back, you've gotten someone hooked on your website and hooked on it big time.
Well, I'll say this. The conversation went like this. The guy I'm here with, he put an offer out. And VIP Sports Representation came back and said they don't want to deal with me, because I'm the middleman. They want to deal with the head guy. So, in other words, and they listened to the podcast that we did on them, which is fine. Mm-hmm. I just want to say this, that VIP, you know, there's a lot of information out there about the owner of VIP. People can Google it. But there was a challenge placed. And I don't know if Steve relayed a message to his mouthpiece, Paulie, but Paulie said the amount of money was not worth Steve's time. So I asked what was the amount. He threw out that large number, and, you know, it is what it is. Either they're going to call me back or they're not going to call me back. So hopefully my individual here will continue to win on the website. He's a little skeptical because there were some technical difficulties that took place during the game. The site got flooded, actually. And
your site?
Couldn't get in So I don't know if it was just the site or their server, but that's information I was given. So we couldn't get the third quarter wager in. And, yes, even though the individual won, they could have won a lot more, but they also could have lost a lot more. So, you know, all I can say is that the sooner we get the information in, the sooner we can go ahead and make more money for our clients and those that go to FantasySportsbookAndCasino.com, where winners win and players play. So go there today and place your wager so that you, too, can be paid. But hopefully, I can encourage this individual to do a little more and gather more interest from others, such as he's a high roller. I'm not going to lie to you. He's a high roller. He might not come across as, but he's a high roller. And I'm trying to invest in his investments, if you feel what I'm saying, JT.
Mm-hmm.
Also,
wow.
He wants to come on the air at some point. He and Mac would be a great duo.
Oh, boy.
He and Mac would be great. Go ahead.
What side of the aisle does he when you say that?
He's on Mac's side, 100%.
Oh.
However, I will say this. This individual can eloquently express his viewpoints without calling the president a porch monkey and all this other crap that Matt does. So I will be more than happy to bring him on because he brings intellectual conversation to the debate. Now, you and he would have a good debate, a very good debate. I mean, I would support you in all that, but he and Matt, they are perfect. Get rid of all the social programs. Everybody wants a handout. He showed me this one internet post from Illinois, and the guy, his name happened to be Tyrone. I thought he was BSing me and just playing around, but the guy's name was Tyrone, 36 years old, getting medical benefits. It's Medicaid, but yes, it's medical benefits. And it was a running joke, but Mr. ATM, we got to do something about this. I promised him an opportunity to come on here and express his viewpoint. He's going to have to wait a couple years or so, but he's very interested in expressing them and bringing in that side to our programs. So,
oh boy.
And I got another announcement, too.
Go ahead.
Her sister, Helen, has approached me about doing a money managerial program. So she might be taking over for Sylvia.
Okay.
Come August. So I've been actually networking and talking to some people, doing some things out here, trying to get more clientele, even though I'm working. But while you're holding it down while I'm gone, I appreciate it. That's why you're second in charge.
I'm impressed that your site is gotten a lot of interest.
Well, football season is when it's going to peak. That's when mm-hmm. we really have to push, like we did last year, but it was too late.
Right.
I want to do something that this individual – now, listen, for all the flaws this individual has with his political views, he has some very good inside information on how – I don't know if you hear him laughing in the background – but on how we can do our own VIP sports rendition. And I'm going to share that with you and Black once I get back because it is genius. I'm surprised I didn't think about it, being the genius that I am. But
okay.
But
and,
anyway.
And when ahead. When am I we going to be graced with your presence again?
To host the show. Like I said, guys, for the whole summer I'm gone. I'll be back for like a week. At the end of the month, but then I'm gone for another 3 weeks with probably no connectivity.
Wow.
So for August, I mean for July, you might not hear from me at all. But that's why it's important that we get on board and start doing these divisions. Because
like I said, I'm starting at what, next week? Next week. I said the middle of June. And next week, the middle of June.
Yeah. So we got to get that going. And
mm-hmm.
Ladies and gentlemen, listen to Fantasy Sports and Politics, Saturday edition, 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. This is your boy, FSP, Don't let Duke do it for you all day, every day, because I am the Magnificent, and JT ATM Money is the one that's hosting the show. He's going to give you all the information you need to succeed. You got to tune in. There's a reason why during the football season, people call us and ask our advice on who to start, who to sit, who to play when they're in the money rounds for their championships. We are a proven commodity. Don't let all those other places fool you. Just because they got a big name or they got a fancy website, I don't care. The knowledge is right here. With that being said, JT ATM, want to go ahead and finish doing what you're doing? I just want to get a plug in real quick.
No problem. I don't know if you listened to my earlier, I wouldn't say rant, but my earlier commentary. But I've been talking about the game one in San Antonio and mm-hmm. the issues that took place and the result of those issues over the last few days about the and I'll put it this in quotation marks, best player on the planet,
and
that's why I put it in quotation marks, that stopped him from, or prevented him, I should say, from finishing the game that everyone else played, but the best player on the planet, and that's in quotation marks, people, couldn't finish and had to be carried off the court. And I gave some comparisons like Isaiah Thomas and his bad ankle, Michael Jordan, and a case of high temperature and the flu, Willis Reed. I'm trying to think of Larry Bird in the day when he had bad back issues. And I mean, the list could go on and on about big-name players,
yeah,
high-profile players, superstars, that when it came to crunch time, when it came to when their team absolutely needed them, were there in some form or fashion. Excuse me?
I can talk about this as well, as I saw that. This generation of basketball players are way different than the ones you grew up on and than the ones I grew up on. You grew up with Bob Cousy and all those other guys. I grew up on Jordan, Barkley, Malone. Kids nowadays are growing up off of Flash and Dash.
And right.
This goes back to our conversation that we had last summer about Allen Iverson. Allen Iverson brought a change to the NBA as far as style and attitude. But he also brought along the decision-making of a point guard that wants to play shooting guard. That pervasive actions change the way the NBA is done. It's all about one-on-one. That's why team fundamentals will always win out. I mean, San Antonio didn't win last year. But the fundamentals that Popovich teaches that team and utilizes his bench, it showed in that game. It showed exactly in that game. We can talk about the AC being out. We can talk about being dehydrated, out of condition, whatever case may be. But fundamentals will win out, especially when you have that superstar that has a problem with his knees, his calf, whatever the case may be. But you take him off the court, who do you have left? You got Dwayne Wade, one of the best players in the NBA. You got Chris Bosh. You got Mario Chalmers, who was in foul trouble. Got it. You got Rashard Lewis, who as of late has been shooting the lights out. You got Norris Cole playing defense. You got the Birdman getting rebounds. The problem is they're so used to giving the ball to LBJ,
right,
or giving the ball to Bosh, or giving the ball to Wade and standing around. There is no motion pick and roll. There is nothing like that. It's just one-on-one basketball, clear out, let me go at the hoop, or take a jump shot. What's going to be better for you, a high-percentage shot or a low-percentage shot? A high-percentage shot every time. You might not make it every time, but the closer you are to the basket, it tends to be a little easier. Yeah. Hey, the guy in the background is the guy that has all the bread, and he's that conservative. But anyway, the bottom line is, the players of today they lack the fundamentals to play the game.
Mm-hmm.
And when you lack those fundamentals, it becomes a situation where you got a LeBron James who is a star, who is one of the best players in the game. And I've said this time and time again. I believe Kobe Bryant is the best player in the game, current player, because he hasn't retired yet. But even when he was selfish, he understood he needed Paul Gasol. He understood he needed Dwight Howard. He understood that. And when he's not in the game, they might not be the best team that the Lakers can put out there, but at least they play team offense and team defense. Now, with that being said, I also believe that the Heat are going to come out and win this game tomorrow, Sunday. But LBJ, got it, guy. You're a talent. You're a great talent. But when you don't have fundamentally sound players around that talent, there are going to be big-time mistakes. Go ahead, brother. I got my coworkers here now.
Okay. Well, let me put it this way. I saw something on Facebook again that was pretty pretty indicative of how these big name players think of Kobe Bryant. Think of LeBron James. This is a quote from Michael Jordan. And I didn't get any feedback over the internet, but supposedly, I think this is probably for the first time, Michael Jordan and Kobe Bryant had sat down to either lunch or dinner over the last couple of days or so. And I would like to have been a fly on the wall to hear that conversation. But this is a quote from Michael Jordan: "The only person who has put in work and deserve comparison," and he's talking about himself, "is Kobe." And this is another quote from Larry Bird. And I had said this before, and I'm saying it again, and I think you had said it too. "If I want to have fun, I'll play with LeBron. If I want to win, I'm playing with Kobe." And that was a quote from Larry Bird. Your thoughts before I bring in, I think it's Mike Black.
All right, sir.
Hey, JT, hello?
Yeah, I'm here.
Mr. Taylor. Okay.
Yeah.
I, you know, I don't like Michael Jordan. You know that. But that is a very true statement. He and Larry Bird made very true statements. That, and you got to move it out the way so they can get out. But there are players in the NBA who you would just love to play with. Yeah, it'll be great to play with them. But if you want to build a solid foundation and you want to have a group of folks that are outstanding, well, you gotta find a way to do it. Yeah, I'm here. Then you gotta find a way to do it. You gotta find a way to get it to work. Patty Mills coming off the bench, coming off the street, is contributing to the Spurs right now. I mean, is he a superstar? No. Is he one of the best players in the NBA? No. Is he a mediocre player? Yes. But he's contributing, and he's been a very big contributor to the Spurs. So, I mean, that's what I got on that, my friend. That's
all right. Let me bring in Black, because he's on the he's calling in on the Fantasy Sportsbook Casino and Fantasy Sportsbook and Casino.com hotline, and I want to bring him in.
Thank you.
Welcome, Black. How you doing, my man?
No, I'm doing good. I'm on the sports betting hotline, and we're taking bets on some more cramps today.
Well, let me ask you this, Black. I know you heard the two quotes I had, one from Michael Jordan and one from Larry Bird, saying that Michael Jordan said the only person who has put in work and deserved comparison is Kobe, And Larry Bird said, if I want to have fun, I'll play with LeBron. If I want to win, I'm playing with Kobe. Your thoughts?
Oh, yeah. If I want to win, I'm definitely playing with Kobe Bryant. I got to play with a competitor that has a killer mentality, and that's Kobe Bryant.
Now, Black, you are friends with Mack Williams just like I am. You have seen the type of things that ever since the game on Thursday, Mack has been posting on Facebook, including the National Leg Cramp Survivor Day. I don't know if Victor saw this, but this thing cracked me up, and I know Victor hadn't heard it or seen it before, so I'm gonna tell him what Mack said that had me absolutely dying on the floor when I read this. This is so original, it's unbelievable. Today is National Leg Cramp Survivor Day. Show your support by wearing a pink heating pad to work today. That's what Mack posted yesterday, and it had relate to do with the leg cramps that LeBron had on Thursday night. Your thoughts on that, and your thoughts on what took place late in that game on Thursday night, Black?
Oh, man, you know Mack is a very, very good friend of mine, and we definitely think alike on the same lines when we speak about LeBron. I don't want to hear any more comparisons about this guy playing the 80s teams and the 90s teams. He's not built like that, man. He's not.
Okay. Well, they're due to play tomorrow afternoon. We will shall see if I've been hydrating ever since and getting ready for game two come 8 o'clock tomorrow night, if he's ready to play or if he's going to have the same issues. Supposedly the air conditioning that broke down in the arena on Thursday night is repaired and fixed and ready to go, so there should be no excuses. We'll have to see what happens in San Antonio come tomorrow. All right, let's stay in basketball because there's a few things in basketball I wanted to talk about. Next I want to talk about is that supposedly, I think we had talked about it on Thursday night, that Donald Sterling said that he had agreed to sign to allow the sale of the L.A. Clippers to go through. Well, there's a report right out now, and I got it last night, that he has yet to sign for the Clippers sale. And I think he's looking for the NBA to rescind the fine and the ban. I don't think this guy is all there mentally. I think he's got some elderly, I hate to say it like this, I think he's got Alzheimer's or something like that. He forgets, I don't quite know how to express this, but he's got issues. He talks out both sides of his mouth, and I'm thinking tomorrow you're going to see that he's ready to sign, and Monday he's going to say, well, I'm not ready to sign unless for some other godforsaken reason. What do you think about this guy, Black? What do you think about this guy? What's going on with him?
At first I thought he was a very, very smart man at first. But now I'm starting to have second and third thoughts. My initial plan for Sterling, I thought he was going to sell the team for $2 billion and still sue the league for $1 billion, thereby pocketing the $3 billion. But now he just wants to sell and get on out. So I don't know.
I got something on that.
Go ahead.
The information I have is that there was an agreement in place. The agreement was
that, because the NBA was going to try to sue him for something else. I don't know what they were going to try to sue him for. So they were going to sue each other. So Sterling agreed to drop his lawsuit. The NBA agreed to drop their lawsuit. Sterling, and part of the agreement was Sterling would not have to pay the $2.5 million fine. Further, they were not going to make it, I guess, somewhat difficult for this guy to sell for the amount that he's getting, the $2 billion. There's a lot of behind-the-scenes, closed-door stuff going on. But at the same time, this guy is coming out richer and richer and richer regardless of what happens here. His name is in the tabloids. His name is in the news. People that think like him are going to do everything to help him. I don't know if this is true or not, but I heard that Mark Cuban was the only owner that voted not to get rid of him. I don't know how true it is, but stuff like that keeps a team or a country going in the wrong direction. I don't want to see this guy anymore. I don't want to talk about this guy anymore. But because of the power he has, because of the money he has, and the influence he has, he is these, along with a whole bunch of other crap that goes on in the world. I mean, this guy, he needs to go ahead and get rid of his team and let somebody else come in and take over that hasn't claimed to be suffering from Alzheimer's, that hasn't been doing the dumb crap that he has been doing over years and years and years, and get a fresh start. It goes beyond belief for me that Donald Sterling has this much power and hold over the NBA. Again, where is David Stern? Why isn't he being brought up in any of this? I don't know. But it bothers me. But that's all I got.
How could the NBA ban him for life, charge him 2.5, and then file a lawsuit against? What was the lawsuit going to be against him?
I believe because he made comments that were detrimental to the NBA. Now, we're not talking about the ones that got recorded. We're talking about the ones he did with Anderson Cooper. Those were, he knew what he was getting into. It was public to say those types of things that he did. They weren't very inflammatory, but they were putting the NBA in a bad light, saying that this is the type of person that represents us. Just like every NBA and NFL player, you represent that brand. Owners are no exception. So when an owner does something dumb, they should be held accountable. Now, the NFL, it is what it is. Jim Irsay is getting away with all types of crap. But you can't have that double standard just because he's the owner and they're the workers. That goes back to that slave mentality. It's good to walk around with them. It's good to even be seen. I mean, it's good to even have some back in your stash. But you better not ever claim to be with them, and you better not be a supporter of them, because if you are, you're going to get excommunicated. I understand a lot of these people thought, and my guy here that's doing all the high-stakes stuff, he agreed with Donald Sterling. He said Donald Sterling did nothing wrong, and what's wrong with his views, and da-da-da-da-da, because they were made in private. I'm like, okay, fine. But people that have those private views can express them in many, many ways that can hurt others that don't have the same type of views.
And the response was?
Oh, well, I mean, he said he doesn't care about that because Donald Sterling is just like every other American that makes money. You don't care what happens to these other people. You don't care what happens in their lives because it doesn't affect you. It's not your money. He also agrees that why am I going to put somebody in one of my houses or one of my rental properties that's going to run my or ruin my house and I'm going to have to fix it and it's going to blow my property value down. Now, again, this individual, great person, great guy, you know, he's more our complexion than he is the other complexion, but those are his viewpoints. And, you know, I strongly disagree with him, strongly.
So that, not to get off the point, so that means, just like what Darnell Sterling said, so that means depending on what your nationality is and the complexion of your skin, you're going to be grouped, regardless of who you are, not as an individual, but as a group of people that are the type of people that are going to take away from the value of your property, regardless of how good a person you are and how conscientious you are of other people's property. Am I right? Is that what the mentality that you're talking about?
That's what I believe. It's me. He's no longer here. He stepped away. He could defend himself. But yeah, we had a long conversation. What is that?
I don't know.
Or something. All right. I can't speak for the guy, but we had a conversation about social activism.
Mm-hmm.
And what are people doing in the community to make their communities better? We talked about Dr. Dre getting $3 billion from the Beats with Apple. Dre promptly buys Tom Brady's house in Boston and is going to move to Boston. What is he doing for South Central L.A. with that money? What is he doing with, you know, the inner cities with that money? I don't know. I can't speak about it. So I brought up the issue of Percy Miller. Master P. And I said, Master P, he owns a lot of McDonald's and Popeyes and a distributor, a record distributor label. So he has some money in there. He has stuff in there. But I don't like the fact that McDonald's is in there because that doesn't really uplift the community. And I understood the point that this guy made, saying that those are going to make Master P tons and tons of money because McDonald's is going to be the cash cow. It doesn't matter if we like it or not because he has to make money. So if he builds a school and the school loses money all the time, he's not going to be rich anymore. So he has to diversify and put, you know, stuff like a Popeyes or McDonald's in the hood because he's going to make millions and millions of dollars from that one Popeyes or that one McDonald's versus building a school or a college where you're looking for grants, you're looking for handouts, so to speak. So I understand that. Do I agree? No. But Donald Sterling and people like Donald Sterling, they only care about the bottom line. And no one else really matters, or nothing else really matters. I don't care about your feelings. I don't care about your lifestyle. I don't care about it. You make me my money, and then when you're no longer making me money, I'm going to treat you just like this soda can. I'm going to throw you away, or I'm going to recycle you and try to get something for you. I mean, that's exactly what basketball sports is. It's a big recycling thing. And once I'm done with you, and you can't give me any more satisfaction, I'm going to get rid of you for whatever it is I can and move on to the next best thing. So that's how that conversation went.
And that's why I can't condemn a professional athlete, regardless of what sport they're in trying to get the max amount of money they can, because the fact is their sporting career, for the most part, except for the unique guys that happen to hang around in whatever sport they're playing, it's very short. It's shorter in football versus basketball or hockey or baseball. It's a lot shorter in football, but it's still the same concept that after a certain amount of time, if you're not performing at a high level, the team, regardless of what they say about loyalty, is just as loyal to you as you are to them if you can't give them what they're looking for. So I can't fault a professional athlete at all for getting the max amount of money because the fact is, just like you said, when you no longer are a commodity or no longer are good enough, then they're going to get rid of you without any hesitation and without any conscience. So it is what it is. All right, let's move on. I want to go into another basketball, but this I'm going to transition into college because I find this extremely interesting that a high-profile college program with a high-profile coach as who runs this program is now coming out that alleged academic fraud at North Carolina, where Rashad McCants discussed that he didn't attend classes or attended a minimal amount of classes, where alleged term papers or assignments were handed in by tutors versus the actual player. And supposedly, claims that Williams helped him swap a class from his summer session with one that he was failing in order to remain eligible. He also believes that Williams and the rest of the athletic department were 100% aware of the fraud that occurred. And I'm reading this from an article. He also said, quote, "I mean, you have to know about the education of your players and who's eligible and who's not and who goes to this class and missing that class. We had to run sprints for missing classes if we got caught. So you know they were very aware of what was going on." And that's a quote from Rashad McCants. I'm not exactly sure what's going to be come of it, but it's out in the open, and this is a big, big, big program in the nation with a like I said, a very high-profile coach that is now is on the hot seat, proverbial hot seat. Talk to me, Black.
I am not surprised at all. You've seen movies like Blue Chips. That stuff goes on all the time. It's just when somebody gets exposed, they'll get exposed. But that stuff goes on all the time. I'm surprised there's not more programs involved that haven't been exposed yet to this type of cheating at school. It goes on all the time, especially at major colleges.
Before you answer, Victor, McCants made the Dean's List in spring 2005 despite not attending any of his four classes for which he received A's. Victor, talk to me.
Let's look at it from this point of view. These guys, most of them, that are supposedly blue chippers, right? Come from, you know, areas where education is not that great. But somehow they get into the prestigious colleges. Somehow they're eligible for two, maybe even 3 years. And yet, when they're on camera giving interviews, they sound like they've never taken one type of educational course ever. I'm not saying every person that goes to college needs to speak a certain way, but when you know that you're going to be interviewed or have a feeling that you're going to be interviewed and your interview goes something like, "And yeah, we knew we were going to do good, so we passed the ball and we made the play." That doesn't sit well with me, knowing that a guy or young lady that's supposed to be extremely been brought into a prestigious university can't even speak halfway decent. So this the allegations about that McCann is making or has happened to put out, they're not new. They're not new. Calipari's been accused of this. Other people have been accused of this. It's rampant in college sports. It's not just football, basketball, maybe even baseball. But when you look at the sports in college that bring you money, they bring the university and the athletic program money. Somebody's looking the other way as some of this crap is going on. And if Roy Williams did something to assist these guys, I mean, look, he knew what he was getting when he went to recruit a guy. So he laid down in bed when he went to go recruit the guy. I have no sympathy for these big school universities that do this. And this goes back to our guest that came on Thursday, Shannon Owens Green, how she was talking about Bill O'Reilly saying, not Bill O'Reilly, the UCF football coach saying, how can this go on and, you know, will this school now become like the farm system? Some of these small schools, they make their kids go to class. They don't help them that much as far as turning in assignments and stuff, and I applaud them. Yeah, they want the big money, but what are you sacrificing? Are you sacrificing the long term of the school, your reputation, that kid? Because let's say he blows out a knee, and he's on his first contract, but he owes millions of dollars, probably like Mr. McCants owes right now. And that's why Mr. McCants is coming out and saying what, you know, a lot of people have done for him, because at the time, he was just trying to go to the NBA. His NBA career was very short, non-productive, and now he's going to expose the people to help him get there. I have no sympathy whatsoever for the player or the universities or the coach.
Number 14 in the draft when he was drafted in 2005. And he was on that 2005 national championship team. And if it comes out that there was these accusations shake out, it's a potentially could forfeit North Carolina. I'm talking about could forfeit their 2005 national championship, which is a black eye quite naturally, and would be. Excuse me, some serious sanctions on North Carolina and a black eye on Roy Williams' career, who up until this point, from what I understand, was a clean coach that supposedly did things the right way. And
if you believe that he was clean, you're very naive, my friend.
No, I'm just... That's why I said supposedly he was a clean coach. I didn't say he was. I said supposedly, in the eyes of a lot of people in media, was a clean coach and that did things the right way. Otherwise, he wouldn't have gotten basically to North Carolina like he did and the other stops that he was at before he came to North Carolina. Always portrayed him in a positive light. This puts a heavy negative light on Roy Williams' coaching career, not to say that he won't get past this, but it definitely puts a dark spot on it, and has to have the media put more scrutiny on the way Roy Williams has done things in the past, not just in North Carolina, but his other stops, because when this happens. the media starts digging and starts trying to find trash wherever they can find trash to build up and to make it a lot more newsworthy than it already is. Anyway, I wanted to get to that because I was very intrigued by that. It was a surprise that it was Roy Williams and a player that possibly was grasping at some notoriety because his career was waning, and this is maybe a way to keep him in the limelight. I don't know. I don't know what the motive was, but like Vic said, maybe he wanted to get back at the people. Who the heck knows?
Have you guys ever experienced that, going to school?
I have. I mean, not personally, but you remember in D.C. growing up, Coach McLeese, right, at Dunbar?
Yeah, Mike McLeese.
And then he went to UDC. Well, Coach Mac was my gym teacher, my health teacher, and, of course, I don't play basketball, but I saw what he did. He had Nike as an endorser for the kids here at Dunbar. And I think he was the first high school to have that happen because we were that damn good. And he would talk to some of the instructors because he wanted to make sure his players were eligible. Now, all of them weren't really eligible, but they became eligible. Now, fast forward to UDC. Well, he went to Howard. He coached at Howard. And he was the AD at Howard. And then a scandal like this broke out. Howard wasn't winning either, so he got fired. Then, several years later, he shows up at UDC. Same situation, athletic director, head men's basketball coach, and it happens again. Ineligible players playing. Find out that some of the grades have been altered or there was some tampering of some sort. You know, the guy's a great guy. He knows how to coach and he knows how to get stuff done. But that has followed him. It has followed him. I don't know what he's doing now, but that's my experience with it. Because I know for a fact some of those players on the basketball team didn't have a 2.0. Because I was in class with some of them.
Oh, you mean they actually came to class? Let me put it that way.
They're in high school. They had to come to class.
Okay. Well, not necessarily.
Not necessarily. I'm not going to throw this school out of the bus, but I also played ball, and I was sort of a knucklehead. I remember I missed the whole two semesters and wound up with straight C's because I played ball.
Oh,
what?
See, that's what I'm saying. Just because you're supposed to be in class doesn't mean you were in class, and if your coach can somehow influence your instructor or teacher in helping you out, in quotation marks, helping you out in your class to make sure that you're eligible, then it'll get done. Now my other statement or question I want to say is this. Now, you have a history of Ron Perlman, the Tennessee coach, is another guy that I'm amazed that he has a job, and I probably can list a few other ones, but he just happened to come off the top of my head. You get
well,
this
he's
guy.
At Auburn now. He's at Auburn now. Remember that?
Yes. Well, this is what I'm saying here. You get these guys. They get tagged, are accused and found to be guilty of causing a lot of fraud or whatever to a school, and they quite naturally lead that school in disgrace. That school suffers sanctions, penalties from the NCAA, and blah, 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 for whatever amount of time it is. But that coach falls into another spot.
And if I'm not mistaken, I think Ron Perlman did it twice in two different locations. And now he's in a big SEC school. Now, if it looks like a nut, if it acts like a nut, and it or it looks like a duck, it acts like a duck, and it quacks like a duck, what part of that won't somebody understand that a leopard won't change his spots? Let me put it that way. It won't change because the fact is, regardless of what venue they're at, regardless if it's a big-name school or a small school or Division III school, and you're trying to get these players, this guy's a heck of a coach, and just like you said, the one from Dunbar was a heck of a coach, but one of the fatal flaws was he would get grades for his players so they could be eligible. I don't understand how a college, and I know it's got a lot to do with money, but you're going to eventually suffer the consequences from NCAA sanctions or whatever else besides fines, why they would hire a coach that's got a history of doing some shady things and to penalize a school. If somebody can give me an answer to that, I welcome it because I don't understand, because it's obvious that a lot of these coaches out here that have been doing this stuff have done it over and over and over again, and a school that hires them thinks they're going to change them. They changed the way to do things. That's how they were successful in the first place. Talk to me, Vic.
All right, this is the last thing I'm going to talk about before I got to go. These schools are willing to take that risk because they know the reward is great. They'll get the sponsors. They'll get the athletes. They'll get the money. By the time these guys go through whatever it is they go through, it'll be too late. Look at my chance. 10 years later, this is coming out. So North Carolina has prospered for 10 years already. So the university, like I told you with Donald Sterling, and like my guy said, they only care about the bottom line. Screw everybody else. Screw everything else. Once you're no longer any good to me, you're gone. So that's
What is that wrestler that uses that line?
Oh, the Million Dollar Man? Everybody's got a price? Or Stone Cold Steve Austin? Stone Cold Steve Austin. All right, fellas. I got to go.
All right, well, thank you for joining us, man. You take care and be safe out there.
All right. Good job, fellas. Let's talk to y'all later.
I want a piece of that 10 stock bet, man.
Hey, Steve came back, said he wants to go 100K or more. So I'm waiting for my guy to answer. But I gotta go.
I want a piece of that as well.
Hey, right. I got a plan for all three of us to do something like that. But we'll talk about that later. I definitely gotta go. Bye.
All right, Black. What's your thoughts? He gave me a reason that school's willing to take a chance, but I didn't get a chance to respond back to him. Well, is it worth it? Because whatever the rewards that they reap for whatever amount of time, they can get penalized to equal that. So what are they gaining? That's my question.
They're gaining plenty. There's no repercussions, really. You've seen college football maybe hand out 2 death penalties in all of its existence.
Mm-hmm.
Schools are always willing to gamble. They know the NCAA is going to be lenient. Slap them with a fine, take away a couple of scholarships. Business keeps moving.
All right. Well, we're talking about, I think Vic happened to touch on the tip of this guy, because I want to talk about this too. The University of Kentucky is in the news for the simple reason they've agreed to a new 7-year deal to the coach of the Kentucky Blue Devils. I mean, the Wildcats, I should say. John Calipari, 7-year deal worth $52.5 million. Now, quite naturally, when he was at UMass and he was at Louisville, He was accused of some shady stuff going on, but he landed on his feet, and now he's at Kentucky. Now he signed his new 7-year deal, $52.5 million. And he's like an NBA factory. He pushes out 2 or 3 players a year, not just every few years. 2 or 3 players a year going to the NBA. Is this worth it? Is this worth $52.5 million for 7 years? John Calipari, talk to me on your thoughts about him.
It is actually not enough.
Oh, really?
For what he does for that university, it's actually not enough. So they got a sweet, sweet deal, Coach Carr.
Why do you think it's not enough?
Because he brings billions to that university.
Okay. And so you're saying, he'll receive a $6.5 million next season, $7 million in 2015-16 season, $7.25 million in 2016-17 season, $7.75 million in 2017-18 season, and $8 million each of the final 3 seasons. And I imagine
Coach Kyle should be making anywhere from $12 to $15 million every season.
Oh, okay, because I'm just saying yes or no from you, that because of how he's elevated, even though Kentucky basketball was a big school, he's elevated it much higher than it's been in, a lot of number one rated players, high school players, are running to go play with him because he's their quick fix to go to the NBA. He's a one-stop shopping. Play for me for 1 year, and then if you play well enough, I can get you into the NBA. And besides getting these players, they play well for him, and either get him to the quite naturally, there's no problem about getting him to the NCAA tournament. It's just how far they go. And most of them, because he gets so many number one rated players in the country to come to him, high school players I'm talking about, that you get all of them together and they're going to go far. And I'm thinking this. I'm looking at the breakdown of his salary, and Black, I think I have to agree with you. $52.5 million over 7 years, and the breakdown, I think they're getting a deal. Especially, maybe in the first 3 years is decent, but after that, he's getting between $7 and $8 million over the last four to five years. I'm thinking that should be in double digits without a doubt. So
exactly.
I imagine this will probably get ripped up maybe halfway through it, and he'll be making that double digit that you're talking about because the price of coaching and inflation or whatever will go up, and if he keeps this up the way he's been doing, then there's no doubt in my mind that he'll be in the double digits if he doesn't jump to the NBA and get that type of salary in the NBA. And you think he should he had a bad experience in the NBA before. You think that he should go back to the NBA, or you think where he's at is where he should absolutely stay?
I think he should just stay at Kentucky. I mean, if he wants to test the NBA waters again, he has to make sure that his system that he runs is flawless and that it adapts to the NBA. I don't know if his system adapted to the NBA because you never saw guys playing it for too long. I mean, guys would go to Kentucky, 1-2 years, they're done. You really didn't see what that system looked like. But as long as he stays in college, as long as he stays in Kentucky, he should be the king of college basketball.
Since 2010, Kentucky has had the most freshmen drafted in the first round of the NBA draft and isn't even close. This is the top four. Kentucky with 10 first-round picks. Then Texas, which is even close, with 3. Kansas with 2. Duke with 2. That goes to show you the level of coaching and how beneficial a high school player, if he goes to Kentucky, has a possibility of making a quick trip into the NBA and even into the first round. This is not just being drafted. This is first-round picks. Over the last 4 years, he's had 10. First-round picks. That's crazy. I don't see it stopping anytime soon unless he gets into a Roy Williams type of situation. Quite naturally, that'll come to a halt. And then the school's going to land-based him. The country's going to land-based him. He's going to be considered a cheat, just like and put in the same category like a lot of other college coaches that are falling by the wayside because of academic fraud or payments or whatever. So we have to wait and see. I view these high-profile coaches, for the most part, like a car going 100 miles an hour. Sooner or later, that engine in that car is going to have to quit because no one can go at 100 miles an hour day in and day out or year in and year out without eventually blowing a gasket or something else going wrong with the engine. So I feel these guys are going to be doing the same thing. Sooner or later, these guys are all going to get caught. And we have Macau coming in on here. What's up, my man?
What's going on, man?
Nothing much. How you been?
All right. Just chilling. Kind of woke up a little late today.
That's all right. Hey, just like McDonald's, man, you deserve a break today. Don't worry about it.
What you up to? What we talking
not
about?
Not much. Let's talk about that.
We're talking about you going to the CVS and collecting some tampons for your boy LeBron.
Tampons for my boy LeBron? Oh, man. You know what? I think everybody need to go ahead and let that go, man. I mean, you can see the cramps on there. I mean, but you know, you can see the cramps he had or whatever. But you know, I think y'all just trying to find a chink in the armor. You know what I mean? You're desperate. I mean, you're desperately trying to find something. I mean, the dude is the champ. The dude is the two-time champ. You know what I'm saying? He is the best in the world. You know what I mean? So, look, it sounds like to me y'all trying to find things in
the excuses.
Please, well,
I'm not sure.
No excuses.
Is it the Time Packs Pro no brand you're going to get? Or is it the Midol? What brand are you picking up for this guy?
All right. Oh, okay. How did tissue work out for you? I sent you for the Autumn Wizards game, cause you know I told you it would break your heart.
It was manly tissue. Trust and believe.
let me ask you, Mikhail. I don't know if you are a Facebook friend with Mac.
He
blocked you. Okay.
Yeah, he blocked.
Okay. Well, let me just express something that Mac Williams, because I'm still we go back and forth a little bit on Facebook, but he posted something about your boy LeBron yesterday, and every time I listen to this, I mean every time I read it, I have to laugh at it because it's extremely, to me, it's extremely original, and it's Mac all the way. This is what he said on Facebook yesterday, and I know Black's seen this because Mike, he's seen it already. I'm going to say it again to you because I want to get your reaction to it. Today is National Leg Cramp Survivor Day. Show your support by wearing a pink heating pad to work today. Your thoughts?
My thoughts is this. I'm going to say this straight up. All y'all should be ashamed of yourselves. You really should. Because, number one, I'm really not a LeBron dude. You know what I mean? I think he's, you know, I've said it before, I think he's too soft. But he's still the best in the world. You know what I'm saying? He's still the champ. You know what I mean? And it's like people like Mac, Mac is extremely ignorant. He just don't know how ignorant he is. And he's been that way for a long time. You know what I mean? But it's like, I understand, like, you know, back a little, you know, a couple of ways back, LeBron was really not bringing it the way he should to win, right? Now, I think he's dead. You know what I mean? He's still not no Kobe to me. He's still not no Mike to me. He hasn't gotten there. And I don't think he's ever going to get there. But as far as today, which is, you know, it really, really puts the league in, you know, in perspective. As far as today, he's the best in the league. You know what I mean? When he plays, I want to watch. Period, point blank.
Would that guy survive in the WNBA? With all the crap that goes on in that league?
Might not. I don't know.
Well, let me ask you something. And I know you're not a fan, but I've said this before, Black, and I also said it to your cousin.
He's trying to denounce it today. He's a fan.
No, he is not a fan. No, I'm a Kobe fan.
Let me give you these two quotes from two Hall of Fame basketball players. I don't know if you've seen these or not, but I'm going to read them to you. The first quote is from Michael Jordan. This is Michael Jordan talking about the player that's compared to him. The only person who has put in work and deserves comparison, and he talked to himself, is Kobe. And the other one is from Larry Bird. If I want to have fun, I'll play with LeBron. If I want to win, I'm playing with Kobe. Your thoughts?
That's true. I agree. But
okay.
if he want his Indiana Pacers to win a championship, I had him next year if he want to come there. How about that?
Well, you know what? I have to agree with you. I think like you're a fan of him. I think Kobe's the closer, a cold-blooded closer. Compared to LeBron,
he's a cold-blooded killer. A cold-blooded killer.
Yeah. So, he doesn't have the skill that he used to have, in comparison. But when he was at his peak, in my opinion, he was better, definitely better than LeBron was. LeBron is, I should say. And had a still to this day, he's got more of a killer instinct than LeBron. So let's move on here. I want to move on to, I don't know if you guys play this, but the Madden cover covered started with eight players, and it came down to Panthers quarterback Cam Newton and Seahawks cornerback Richard Sherman for the win. Both outstanding players, Sherman, who was a two-time All-Pro, and Newton, a two-time Pro Bowl selection. Over 8 million people voted. And by the margin of 56% to 44%, Richard Sherman was announced winner of the Madden 15 cover vote. The total vote was 661,412. And quite naturally, 56% went to Richard Sherman. 44% went to Cam Newton. Richard Sherman. Now, he's a good player. I think he's getting a little bit overexposed, in my opinion, right now. I think his thing is wearing thin, in my opinion. But he's the top vote getter to be on Madden 15. Macau, your thoughts?
Hey, man, that's a kiss of death. I'm a superstitious mofo, man.
Mm-hmm.
I'm serious. I really like this dude. I really like this dude. I think he's the type of brother that the NFL needs. We really need a guy like him in the NFL. Extremely, because he's the type that's going to get up under the media. He's the type that could revolutionize how you think about players. He is that brilliant to me. But I don't like this Madden joint, man. I don't like this Madden joint. I don't. I really don't, man.
Well, before I go to Black, let me ask you this question. It came down to Richard Sherman or Cam Newton. Two good choices. Your thoughts on that?
Man, if I was either one of them dudes, I'd be trying to figure out a way to get up out of that. So I wouldn't be on the cover. I don't understand why everybody clamoring. I guess it's the money, or the fame or whatever. But
right,
like I said, I'm a superstitious dude, man. I like Cam too. I like Cam. He's another one. He can revolutionize the quarter. He has. He began the whole revolutionization of the quarterback position. Now we're not just the running quarterback. That's not like the little stigma name anymore. You know what I mean? So, I don't know, man. I don't like either one of them. But Cam should be thanking his lucky stars, man.
All right, Black, talk to me.
I have to agree with everything Mikhail said. You do not want to be on the Madden cover going into a season. A kiss of death.
All right, well, staying on I totally agree. Let me put it that way. That's been known to be a curse. I think the only one that wasn't cursed, I'm trying to think who it was. There was one player, like in the last several, that didn't incur a curse, and I can't think who it was. If it hits me, I'll bring it up, but right now I can't think of it. Anyway, we're going to stay in the NFL, and we had talked about this guy earlier. I think Vic had brought him up, if I'm not mistaken. Jim Irsay, owner of the Indianapolis Colts, for driving under the influence or driving while intoxicated, however you want to say it, because he didn't submit to a blood test on his arrest. Indiana law requires a one-year license suspension, so he got his license suspended for 1 year from the court. Now, from what the league insiders are saying, that they expect him to get a 6 to 8 game suspension from the league. He has a court date on the, I think it's a hearing on the 19th of June, and he possibly get a 6 to 8 game suspension along with about a fine of $1 million. You guys' thoughts on that, Black?
I believe it when I see it. If it's just speculation, I don't want to hear about it. I need to see the commissioner come down and come down heavy.
Cal.
Yeah, I'd have to agree with Black. It's still, all that stuff still sounds like slaps on the wrist to me, because I know if they caught me and Black in the car, with you driving, Jerry, we all going down, so.
Hey, you don't have to tell me. I've been there, so you're exactly right. You're right. If you happen to be a certain persuasion, you're going
down hard. There's no two ways about it. So with 29 grand and all the pills he had, besides being intoxicated on painkillers or whatever else he was intoxicated on, get a suspension for a year, okay. I can see that because he refused to take a test. But we'll have to wait and see because there's a lot of heavy things that were going on the day he got arrested. That I know he's got money. You guys know he has money. So that money's going to pay for a very good, extremely well-versed lawyer that's going to try to cajole the prosecutor to lighten up on him, and more than likely he may, but it's going to play out, I would say, probably the next few months. A court hearing, like I said, is about a little more than a week away, 10 days away or something like that. And we'll have to wait and see, but I think the big thing is the players are looking at what is going to happen to this owner, because this owner just didn't get caught with a DUI, which is bad enough. But he got caught with a DUI with five figures of money, cash in his possession, along with a whole bunch of drugs, whether it be painkillers or whatever. So, you know, if tables were turned and that happened to be, and you guys can relate to this, it happens to be someone of the African-American persuasion, and I'm putting it out there, with all that cash, there'd be a lot more charges, in my opinion, that Mr. Irsay got in the first place. I don't know if anybody want to comment on that, but it's obvious that if it was anybody other than who got caught with that amount of money and with that amount of drugs, there'd be a lot more going down. Talk to me.
I'd be calling you and Mikhail and asking y'all to pull all of your life resources to find a Johnny Cochran-like lawyer for me.
Shoot, we'd all be able to make a society.
And that's even if I'm granted a phone call. Because I'm sure I won't be granted a phone call.
Nah, you ain't getting no phone calls, Slim. They're going to throw you up under the jail, and every media outlet, you'll be a menace to society, Slim. And,
yep.
And you'll be the punching bag for every media host that want to pound the table about, you know, football players or whatever we are, you know, that are always getting in trouble.
Yep.
That's what it is.
And that's the cold, hard facts, just like you see it on ESPN. That's the cold, hard facts. Absolutely. Anyway, got 2 minutes left in the show. We're going to shut this thing down on time. It's too nice a day out here to keep on his radio. So I'm going to be enjoying the rest of the weekend and enjoying that weekend with my wife. So I'm going to go to Black and then Mikhail, and then we'll get the hell out of here. Talk to me, Black.
Oh, well, I'll be in your part of town next Saturday, Mr. Taylor, if you'd like to come on down and join me. I'll be at Bally's in Atlantic City. Bally's in Atlantic City.
Really?
Yes, sir.
What are we doing there?
Our good friend, Mike, yes, indeed, Reed, good friend of the program, has a fight right there at Bally's next Saturday.
Oh, really?
Yes,
okay.
Sir.
Tell me what site do I go on to see about this?
Check under the Tapia main event card. That's a top-ranked card. I think Glenn Tapia is the headline.
Okay. And that's, you say Saturday?
Yeah, that's Saturday.
Saturday would be the 13th?
14th.
Okay.
And also, I'd like to wish my daughter a very happy birthday. As she shares the same birthday with a great legend of mine, Mr. Allen Iverson. So both of you guys, happy birthday.
Well, wish your daughter happy birthday for me, too.
She's currently swimming in beaches right now.
Okay, hey. that's what young women do, man. They love beaches, so whatever it is. Anyway, talk to me, Macau.
I wanted to know if Black seen saw that big power move that just happened over there at Golden Boy, and wanted to get his thoughts on it real quick because I already made a prediction.
Oh, Schaefer the Mayweather?
Yeah.
Schaefer the Mayweather promotions.
Yep. That's what it's going to be. That's what it's going to be, man. And
that's going to be a dynasty.
Yeah, it's going to be a dynasty. And you know, and all these people, they just going to hate Mayweather for the rest of their life. I just feel real bad for them. Real bad for them. Meanwhile, they man Pacquiao over there having all kind of financial problems. But, you know, Bob Arum is not no crook. Hint, hint, wink, wink.
I hear you. Well, as I started the show,
I was about to go off until I heard the wink, wink.
As I'm going to end the show like I started the show, wish a Tracy Morgan, who was involved in a early morning automobile accident on my New Jersey Turnpike. Who's in critical condition in the hospital in New Jersey, and hopefully a speedy recovery along with the other people that were in that limo bus that are still in critical condition also, in intensive care unit. Hopefully everything will turn out well, and we'll be able to he'll be able to walk out that hospital in good health along with the other people that were involved in that accident also. So hopefully he has a speedy recovery, and I just wish him Godspeed. And feel for the family, of the one person that died in that car accident. I don't know if you guys heard about that or not.
No, I didn't hear about it.
Yes, that happened about early morning hour, about 1 o'clock this morning. Tracy Morgan was on the New Jersey Turnpike, got involved in a accident. In fact, it's the exit off the Turnpike that I get on the highway to come to my house. So he was very close to where I lived, got into an accident on the New Jersey Turnpike, headed to Dover Downs because he was supposed to have a show down there, and right now he's in critical condition in intensive care in Robert Wood Johnson Medical Center in New Brunswick, New Jersey.
Wow.
So hopefully everything will turn out well, and like I said, he recovers quickly, along with the other passengers that were critically hurt also. With that being said, I ended on a sad note, but I wanted to express that because I opened the show like that, and I wanted to definitely end the show on that note because I like Tracy Morgan. He keeps it real. So with that being said, you guys enjoy your weekend. Say a few prayers for Mr. Morgan and company, and we are out.